shining a light on the women creating impact, leading organizations and mission-focused strategic programs across the federal technology and consulting community. This is Impact. All right. Well, I am being joined today by Kamala Green, the Social Drivers of Health Program Manager at National Government Services. Kamala, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Marianne. Always great to be with you on this bright, sunshiny Thursday. So always happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. And we've chatted at least two or three times now on different podcasts. So it's great to talk to you again. And this one's going to be a little bit more casual, and we're going to let people get to know you. First, let's start with something in the past. Can you tell me an experience or an event that you believe helped lead you down the path you are on today?
I love this question. Actually, for me, while pursuing my master's degree in graduate school, I had the greatest opportunity to intern at a federally qualified health center. And I encourage people to, if you've never been to one, you have no idea what it is, just go find one. There are 1,400 of them throughout the country. And what was probably the greatest experience is watching and working with patients coming to that clinic, which federally qualified health centers are those that are literally in communities, and a lot of them are in socially marginalized or underserved communities. So many people are coming in with different sets of needs and questions about their care, but also about their daily life activities. Like, you know, can I get assistance for food insecurity or homelessness? And so for me, I learned that it ignited a passion for me to want to advocate for people around their total health. And I was very young at the time. I had no clue what I was going to do with this second degree, but working in that federally qualified health center each day and really just seeing people coming in, developing those relationships, and then seeing how people respond when you just interact and connect them with a resource that they so desperately need. What it really did for me was say, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I don't want to take a job just because it looks
make
good
money.
On paper.
Yeah.
To make money. Yeah. I want to do this because I love helping people. It was the greatest experience. And I think from that point on, I have never taken a job since then that it was just for money. I had to feel like there was going to be some level of responsibility to help someone on their daily journey, whether it was for their physical health or their mental health, or even just connecting a journey in their career. So I really made it for me a holistic, because I felt like I had a responsibility to not only just people, but also to my colleagues who I worked with.
That's really great. So as you were traveling through your journey, were there any mentors that helped guide you?
I am a graduate of two all-women schools.
Wow.
So for me, having the experience of having women mentors, I mean, just has been a phenomenal experience for me. I have so many that I could probably give accolades to, but I'm going to give you an experience that still stays with me today. I had taken on a lobbying job for mental health and working with young people in the juvenile justice system here in Maryland. And one day I was lobbying for a bill. Went to lobby for a bill for additional funding for children who wanted to be reunited with their families after doing time in our juvenile justice system. And I had to appear before the Appropriations Committee. And I clearly knew that I failed in the moment. But the questions that were coming, I'm so passionate about what I'm talking about, why they need to give it more money, what it's going to do for young people in the state of Maryland. And they start questioning me about things that have nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Like, this is the focus of this bill. This is why you should give it money. And I walk out of the room and I'm completely just deflated. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a complete colossal failure. And the vice president the vice president of the appropriations committee, she walks out, and it was so like great timing. I had never met her. And she says, so Kamala, I want to give you some feedback. And she said to me, no, we're probably not going to give the money to the program. However, because of your passion and your messaging about the care and concern of young people, it made us redefine how we look at young people in this system and what we probably really need to do to address this. And so leveraging additional funding to really address a particular issue is not what we really want to do. We want to take your ideas and really look at the system itself. So she said, I want to leave you with this message. Failure is not an option when it is teaching you a lesson.
That's so true. That is
and
so
from
true.
That point forward, I looked at failure in a complete different way because I realized that it was teaching me a lesson that while it may not leverage the outcome that I expected, it leveraged a whole complete different outcome that I probably would have wanted. And so she became my mentor. After she gave me that great advice, I told her she couldn't get away from me. So we would have lunch. And she really guided me through my career, and just helped me to really frame. Sometimes it's that mindset shift. You have to have a growth mindset. And I think that having a mentor allows for that. And recently she transitioned and I told her, I think a month before she transitioned, that I just did not know what I was going to do because having that person to really deposit in you and to really invest in you. And she said, you know what? I will not be here with you, but I certainly trust that all of the lessons and conversations, I trust that you're going to pass them on to someone else. So I stand on her shoulders. She definitely was a great mentor, but that changed my life forever is how I looked at the opportunities to grow.
And she was there for you, and now you can do and be that person for someone else. And that's really nice.
Absolutely.
So as a leader, what do you think are some important things leaders should keep in mind as they're guiding teams and driving organizations forward?
I think for me, it's key for businesses. And I will even take back for myself, having some of the greatest minds who have been my supervisors and mentors is that employee success and satisfaction is so paramount. I think that as a person first mentality, people feel supported and empowered to take initiative, to move forward, to move the organization forward. And so really having that boss who encourages and supports forward thinking, is always paramount for me. But I also feel like once you have that ability to coach your employee, really having the support and resources in place for that employee to really execute on what you're investing back into them. And that to me, it really translates into not only great customer service, but innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Because people then say,
yeah.
Yes, it's like, I can dream. I can think out of the box. I can really say, here are some ideas that move us to a desired outcome. And it really does help us achieve an overall business objective and not be so risk averse, but then to say, you know what? This is a risk we can take. This, we see a direction that we can move forward in. I do think that, and I would not be me if I didn't say this, being able to align your business objectives to being community focused. So what we do internally should also be how we appear in the community. Pieces of me, I don't do this work because it's just great work and people think it's great. Health equity is great work. I put my mouth where my actions need to be. So I am not going to say to someone, health equity is just and fair. We want that for every human being. If I don't practice that, and so in my business and my personal business of being responsible for social and health equity, social responsibility and health equity for us, I still volunteer to the things that I'm passionate about that really advance health equity, but to also align with how we look at health-related social needs that really impact health. So as a seven-year breast cancer survivor, I make it my business in October to really do awareness around being a breast cancer survivor, really screening and working with organizations that do that work. But I also know, having diabetic parents, that I want to make sure that they are eating well. So I go and volunteer at Movable Feast here in Baltimore. Those are things that I so my philosophy is I'm going to talk about it at work. I have to live it. So whatever I say to an employee, or whatever I say to senior leadership, whatever I say to our associates, is what I live with every day, the consistency and integrity that I want to make sure that I show up in what I also am passionate about. And I think that whenever businesses can align their objectives to social responsibility, that is another piece that is very much a focus for making sure that organizations are leading teams forward, that we have to have integrity about what we're saying. So we're improving the health of humanity. We're living that in every part of what we say and do.
I love it. I love it. So looking over the past 5 years, what's something that you would say has made a significant impact on the future direction of health IT?
So recently, Ernst & Young, I'm a nerd, so I read a lot of stuff. I'm an avid reader. And so recently, Ernst & Young did a survey with about 500 health equity surveys around the country on their 2024 health equity outlook. And what really rose to the top for me and really has become so profound in the work that I've done in these last 20 plus years is that technology and how we use technology comes to the top. It is a major priority that innovative IT solutions will really, for us, move us forward in health equity, but it will leverage for us the understanding of how we need to deploy resources and really to come up with innovative ways of how to make people as healthy as possible. The piece for me that really leverages that kind of rising to the top is how we collect data. Now, before, we would not disclose any of this data, our social economic data, our racial and ethnic group. We wouldn't share that data because we didn't think that it was appropriate. But now we understand post-pandemic how appropriate it really is to share the data and how appropriate it is to collect the data. So I feel like that will definitely help us to leverage additional AI resources, because AI promotes for us a projection of how we treat people, how we do care coordination, what the cost savings will be. So I'm enjoying that technology around data collection and artificial intelligence, how it will promote health equity. But I'm probably at the proudest moment of my career to hear that telehealth will emerge as a premier way to really connect us and give access in places that are so scarce for resources for mental health and for physical health. And I like the idea that the government has leveraged policy to expand telehealth. So we're going to see in the next 5 years really refinement around data governance, artificial intelligence, and telehealth. We're going to see big outcomes that come for that. And I think that we're going to start to see cost savings, but also being able to give access to communities that absolutely need it because of that technology.
How do you think AI is going to play a role in health IT? Like, what are your thoughts on how that's going to?
I tell people we will always need people. So artificial intelligence is really the guiding factor of promoting for us, where do we see a gap? It doesn't say this community is going to be marginalized. So here's a growth mindset. It's how we see how we're going to use that tool. I see artificial intelligence for the first time giving us a projected view about where we need to really spend our resources and time really improving health outcomes. We will need people, people like me, people like you, who will say, hey, we don't want to marginalize the community. That's already there. We want to support it. So let's bring in key stakeholders to collaborate and to hear where they feel like those needs are. I think that we look at artificial intelligence and we think about this robot, and it's no ability for us to be, to have agility and for us to see that people will be needed in the equation. We do public health. Public health is very much a relational and very much a collaborative approach to healthcare and to epidemiology. So I really feel like we have to change our mindset about how we see the tools that will enhance our work, not take away from our work.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, Kamala, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that as we, over the next 5 years, some of the other greatest focus that we will see is collaboration. We have been siloed. So you see the federal government has an agenda, state and local governments have an agenda, and then grassroots organizations and nonprofits have an agenda about health equity.
Mm-hmm.
We will start to see those things merge. And for me, that is, it's exciting to see us on the same agenda, focused on the same things, and deploying resources in a very streamlined approach versus all of us trying to work towards maybe this large goal, but we're getting there all kind of different ways, and we're really not achieving anything. Like we get a marginal return, but it's not really doing the impact that we want to see. So I feel like the data collection, the enhanced tools for AI, telehealth will bring us closer to doing some of that collaborative work. And for me, that's an exciting time. And then having the most important people at the table, which are providers who already know all of this stuff. You know, we don't probably bring them into the equation often, but really having them at the table to help us say, no, this is where we need to go. And this is how we need to get there. So I like that we will all be in the same space working towards a very calculated goal of really fair and just opportunities for people to be as healthy as they need to be for themselves.
Yeah, I think collaboration is going to be a huge, huge key because, I mean, who hasn't worked in an office or something where the marketing guys are doing one thing, the sales guys, the consultants, they're all doing their own thing. If everybody were to communicate and work together, you'd get so much more done. So yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I'm excited because I've spent time at the state and local level, and I've spent time, now I'm at the federal level. So obviously to see this all concurrently come together is so exciting for just not physical health, but behavioral health. And it's been an exciting time to be in this space and to watch it and be part of it, because the key is that we need people, everyone needs to participate in advancing health equity. That's not just one group of people who are responsible for that. And I think that we're doing an absolute Herculean job at making sure we're connecting the dots where we need to really advance health equity, but also for us to just make people healthier. And that's something that we probably really were challenged in before. And I think the pandemic helped us to understand and really highlight a very challenging area for us is collaboration.
Awesome. Well, Kamala, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Please be sure to check out our other podcasts, Keeping IT Brief and Afternoon Tea, available on your podcast provider.